Good evening, everybody. And welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council on the 22nd of January. Before we start the meeting, I have a very important announcement that Joy has a significant birthday tomorrow. We promised not to do that. But more importantly, she's invited us all for what she calls drinkies in the committee room, which haven't seen Joy pour a glass of wine is definitely brace yourself, is all I can say. I wish I wasn't driving, but I broke the habit of a lifetime today and actually used the Mayor's parking space.
It'd be worse if you had to
drive. Well, I might not have made it, to be honest. Okay, don't think we've got any public speakers tonight. Okay, so we can move on to council meeting minutes.
Apologies.
Minutes of the last meeting.
Apologies first.
Oh. Up. Oh, yeah. So yes, apologies for absence. How many have we got?
I've had apologies from Councillor Mike Rosser, Councillor Fred Cagill, Councillor Nick Hookway. Are there any others that need recording, please?
Councillor Andrew Bertrand.
Thank you.
And Councillor Andrew Conn.
Thank you. Okay, so noted.
Okay, thank you. Right, now we get to the minutes. Everybody happy with the minutes?
Well,
thank you for that, Maddie. All in favour?
Need a proposer and a seconder first.
Okay. Jumping ahead. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Pauline. That'll do. Proposed and second. All in favour?
Thank you. That's carried.
Okay. Any declarations of interest? No? Nobody got a contract? We do have a part two. So item five, to resolve the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part two of the agenda as involves likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part one, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. Do we need to vote on that? Yes. So I'll propose from the chair. Vice Chair will second. All in favour?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we move on to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, Town Clerk, Deputy Town Clerk, District and County Councillors as appropriate. So we start with the Planning Committee. Over to you, Joe.
I would like to present the minutes of the Planning Committee held on the 4th and 18th of December and the 2nd of January, and to give thanks to Vice Chair Councillor Dumper for chairing the meeting on the 18th, I think.
Okay, thank you. Right, we don't need proposals.
We do for those ones because it's a committee.
Oh, okay. Right, well, Joe's proposed and Tim's second. That's appropriate. All in favour?
Thank you.
Okay. Climate and Ecological Working Party, that's over to you, Tim.
Yes, I'm sorry about this because I note that I'm supposed to be presenting a verbal update from the last meeting on 9th of January. But I'd like to propose the meeting of 6th, which, as it says, is attached. The 9th, we had a fairly long discussion about the climate budget because we'd that had come out in detail against items on the plan at that meeting, and we proposed that be put through this meeting for £50,000, and it's obviously to some extent, and I think if Zoe were here as climate officer, she'd say there's a bit of a finger in the air job on that, and it may well be that we don't get as far as 50,000, but we are working in terms of an emergency, and we think that that was necessary. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All in favour of receiving those minutes from the 6th of December then? Did we have a second?
Don't need one because they're working party.
Oh, okay. So
there's
we
no
don't
recommendations
need to vote.
In
we don't
there.
Need to
so
vote
no,
on that.
No.
Okay. Community organisation liaison panel says a verbal update. Who were receiving that from?
That was Pauline.
Thank you, Pauline.
It's funny, when it comes through, it never comes through in the right order because I haven't got that. I've got transport, excellent transport next on the, you know, on your screen.
Oh.
You send the minutes.
So I've got the community one.
Mine
hasn't
come out.
They came later on.
I have in the front page, but it could be that the actual minutes may be out of order.
It's a verbal update from the meeting. So, do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
So we spent quite a lot of time discussing the neighbourhood plan and the scope to refresh the neighbourhood plan and how that will align with the emerging local plan. We spent quite a lot of time talking about the housing needs assessment and how that was progressing and how that was being the methodology that was being used for that. That was the bulk of.
Yeah,
just no updates from Street Scene. It's because mine's. Cult members were signposted to the flooding and land drainage working party notes for progress with Southwest Water, but wanted it to be noted that they were dissatisfied with the recent disruption in town. And that was noted. That was it, I think.
People didn't turn up at the excellent transport working party. Not the council members, but the actual people like stagecoach and the trains and everything.
That was it.
And we talked about the planning application for Churchill, how they'd won their appeal, unfortunately. And the placemaking, Graham gave an update on the placemaking. And then also about the Exmouth Christmas Market, how that seemed to be a success. Even though it was privately funded, it was very good. I think that was most of it. Yeah?
No.
Thank you. That's a report, sorry.
No.
It's not the chair of it, more than David is.
Thanks very much, Pauline. No, you covered a lot there. Exmouth Transport Partnership Working Party. Over to you, Tim.
Thank you, Ollie. The notes of that meeting are attached, and I would endorse the comments of Colp there that we are disappointed by the lack of attendance by Stagecoach and GWR recently, in particular. I haven't got any additional comments on that, but I'm going to give a report on my meeting with Councillor Andrea Davis and others at the station as a follow-up to our general meeting that we had in here in December with Councillor Davis. Anyway, I'll do that under bus form. Thanks. Any questions, please?
Done Tim. That's fine. So we can move on to the festival and events working party. That's Joy.
Well, there's not an awful lot to say except that the Christmas one, as I reported at our last core council meeting, went extremely well. And we're now looking towards the summer event in July. We have got a few bits in the pipeline, like there might be a sort of a food festival that we're looking at, but that's a completely, that's got nothing to do with the town council, that's more Easter. They will be funding that, so there will be no cost to the town council. Yeah, things are going well as far as the festival in July is concerned.
Lovely. Thanks, Joy. Town maintenance overview working party. Now we do have a recommendation here. I'll let Ian report on that because we had a meeting with ID Verdi, I think is how it's pronounced. I was quite reassured, but I shall see what our chair thought. Over to you.
Is it lit up?
No.
Okay. So
don't
worry.
Sometimes they need waking up.
Just like the AA, then. Okay. Thanks. As you said, we have the obviously there's a proposal tonight, which I'd like to recommend to everybody. Just a little bit of background before anybody asks any questions. As you members may be aware, East Devon Street Scene have carried out grass cutting contract in various parts of the town on our behalf for the last number of years. We renewed it for another 12-month period back in April of last year. There have been various issues over the years, and we hoped things would improve, but unfortunately they didn't, as members of the working group on that. The proposal is from the group, and as Ollie said, we did meet with the ID Verdi last week, it was, and the proposal from us is that we award the contract to them. There's been a slight amendment to some of the verges to be cut. Some have been dropped because they were not needed and other people were already cutting them. And there's some additional ones we've put in where they're in areas where Devon County currently carry out 3 to 4 visibility cuts a year. And obviously this will be for a minimum of 6 cuts. Starting roughly April. I'm quite happy to take any questions if anybody's got them.
Do it. Yeah, Steve.
No. Hello?
Yeah, you're on there.
Thank you. Not a lot of questions, Chair. It's just I'd like to second the recommendation. And I'd like to put on record our thanks to Chetwood for the hard work that you've done in getting the tenders out and getting to the stage of where we can have a recommendation to discuss tonight. But I think it's even going to say the service that we're going to get from the new contractors, in my opinion, will be far better than what we've had before. And to be fair, he was grilled with quite a few questions on the morning that he came and sat with us. So in my own mind, I think we're making the right decision, so I'd like to second the recommendation, Chair, please.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. May I inquire as to the cost of this proposed new contract compared to the one we have with East Devon, please? Is it more or less or similar?
I can answer that, Brian. It's less. Financially, it's less money.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you.
And that was one of our dissatisfactions with East Devon, that we could never quite work out where the sum of money that we were paying them, how it was actually calculated or where it had come from. And we felt that it was one of those things that had been used over the years and simply added to incrementally each year. And we'd ended up with a figure that didn't really bear any relation to the work they were carrying out. Plus certain dissatisfaction. I should add that the ultimate aim is still to bring this back in-house, and that is reflected in the budget that you'll look at later for town maintenance, that we intend to build up a fund there that will enable the purchase of tools and equipment should we get to that point and ratify that decision finally. But I was quite reassured. The guy who came, it wasn't a suit. He was somebody who looked as though he could have taken the strimmer and got out there right away, which is always a bit reassuring when you meet somebody like that. They seem very down to earth. They're not a vast company. They're locally based, where they're based, Ian?
Stanton, near Totnes.
That's right, yeah. They're Devon based. Yes, Maddie.
Can I make sure that the contract, it does go to Metrobus, please?
That is part of the recommendation that we get a legally watertight proposal drawn up. Make sure that we've covered all the bases there. He did say it would have to go to their legal department as well, and I think they do have a head office.
Coventry,
that's right, it was in the Midlands. They will go through it as well, so we need to make sure that we have covered all the bases. Yeah, but good point, Maddie.
Yeah. Can I go back, Chair? Can you, when the contracts are signed, can we make sure that they are introduced to Exmouth and Brew so that they can work with them if need be?
Oh, yes.
So they know what's happening?
Yes.
So they don't, cross over?
No, I'm quite sure that there will be those sort of introductions going on, but this is grass cutting.
It is
not any other.
The only reason I ask is when it comes to the judging for Exmouth in Bloom, we like to make sure, and I'm sure the chair will agree with me, make sure that grass around the flower beds is neat and tidy, so sometimes they need to converse with each other to make sure things are right. Ian knows what I mean, don't you, Ian?
Yeah. Do you want to come back on that, Ian? Because I'm sure whether this...
Yeah, not really. I mean, just to say, I understand what Maddie's saying. To be honest, most of the grass around the flower towers is cut by our own guys anyway, our own team. There are some some minor additions, actually, particularly at the top end of Bradham Lane, which I had in mind because of the issues with Britain Bloom and judging. So yeah, that will be, it doesn't form part of this contract, but we don't worry, Maddie, we'll take it.
Yep. Okay, Brian again.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick one, I hope it's relative to this particular subject, under maintenance. There was an article in the newspaper about the damage that was done by the marquees that were put up. Has that damage been reinstated, do we know?
I was going to say, I think Joe's had some correspondence with Streetsy.
We're talking about on the Strand, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, I haven't had some correspondence with residents. I did contact the events team at East Devon. It's been inspected and they reassure me that the restore those beds than it will to maintain the ones that haven't been churned up. So I have to believe that.
I find I have to believe it, as you've told me. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah. Should say that's an East Devon matter.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, that's,
having said that, thank you, Chair, but it's relevant to the town.
Yeah. Okay, so if we have no further questions for Ian, then all in favour of awarding this contract, subject, of course, to what is on your papers and giving delegated authority to the Deputy Town Clerk as well. Okay, any against? Any abstentions? No, I think that was unanimous. Okay, right, moving on then. Thank you for that. Right, flooding and land drainage. Again, it's a verbal update of the meeting held on the 16th of January. Who's the chair of
Steve.
Flooding and land group?
Steve.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we had a really long meeting on that day, and we were fortunate that we had two officers from South West Water actually zoomed in as well. That was Hazel and Kelby, which they took lots of questions from members on the flood and land drainage. We didn't always maybe agree to what they were saying, but and we discussed, or they told us that the £38 million would probably be spent, which is fair part of it, and maybe some down at the Hardtop Road. So we then had a discussion about the seawall and seafront, obviously. Had a very good discussion about that, and the pictures that we were shown were very distinct and showed exactly what the problem is. Now, there may well be a bit of a delay on actually starting it because of getting the materials, but it's hoped that it will be finished, I think, by Easter, from memory, which is right. And there will probably, well, there will be, so we're told, that there's going to be another public forum with South West Water officers. I'm not sure where the venue is going to be or the date, but there will be another meeting where members can come and scrutinise South West Water. But I think, as I say, the meeting did go on for 2 hours. I thought that everybody came away from information that they may not have had before. So that's the update, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Steve. Yeah, I think South West Water on a charm offensive at the moment. really trying their best. Well, as I said in the meeting I had with them, it's always jammed tomorrow with South West Water. But there's no point in looking back at the past. We can only hope. Okay, and keeping with watery matters, we move on to Exmouth Beach Management Plan Steering Group. Graham was a little surprised to me see his name there. So Pauline, yes, please, you were there, and so was I, so hopefully between us we can...
But if I give an update on the beach itself, that's not the wall, that's just the beach. They've actually employed some people from Christchurch Council to deal with it. And their aim will be to study it, the physical project's extent of the area, the coastline, east and west, and the physical project area, including the estuary. It's fairly urgent, but at the moment, if you go down there, it's like a whirlwind, it's like a desert down there at the moment. But they are going to project, they're going to actually look after the project. They had three decent bids received, and Aircom successfully appointed to carry out the BMP study. They're going to have a presentation of questions and answers. A consultation date is in the town hall here on 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the 15th of February. So if you want to come along, they're looking for people who experience of the beach, so fishermen, anybody who's lived here for a long time that knows the beach area. The update on the sea wall, which in practice you've seen, they've done some emergency work on it. They hope to start that at the end of February. They hope to actually finish it, well, during the Easter holidays it will be. They were trying to hope to finish it before Easter, but unfortunately it looks like, especially if the weather carries on like it has done, it will be just after Easter. They hope to finish the works by. I don't know whether the road will be closed yet for when they bring in the sheets, because it will all be lined with metal sheets right the way from side shore, right the way down to the ramp. So it's a long way, and it will just look like metal sheets. So you won't see, there won't be any wall. So I want people to know that they're like the sloping wall we've got there at the moment. Well, that will all be gone. It will just be metal sheets for the time being. They're going to try, we've managed to get them to save the stone, because at one point they wanted to sell the stone off the wall, which I thought was disgusting.
Really?
So yeah, they went to a meeting where they decided to sell it off. And I thought that was really awful. So they're going to keep the stone now, and they're going to use that for along the wall, on the side of the walkway, not on the beach side. And they'll have to look at it in future to see if they can afford to do anything to that part of the wall. So hopefully, at least the wall will be done and saved. The rest of the, and they're going to keep on looking at the rest of the wall to make sure none of that has cracked. Because I know at our lifeboat station it had cracked, but they've managed to fill in the cracks there. But there's nothing behind the seawall at all, so it's just pure sand.
That's right.
No, you've covered most of it there. The intention is to drop the steel piling down roughly where the wall is now, the upright wall, so that, as Pauline says, the sloping wall will go. Although I think they did have some hopes they might be able to drop it down behind the sloping wall in some places, but it just depends what they find when they excavate, because the reason the whole thing dropped was that there was only sand underneath. But where they find there are actually some decent footings, they may be able to leave that. And they are going to look at cladding it on the beach side at some point, but they're definitely going to clad it on the landward side, so it looks more attractive to people walking along the prom. Yeah, that was about it. But I'm glad you remembered about BCP, the Bournemouth Christchurch pool people. Apparently have huge expertise in sort of coastal management. Yeah, so they brought them in to do that. Yeah.
I have a question. You were saying that this who is actually doing this work, and they wanted to sell the stonework. Isn't that original Victorian stonework anyway? And who are these people to say that they're going to sell it when it's not their property to sell?
I don't want to start any hairs running, but I never heard any suggestion from Tom that there was any intention, because all the time he's talked to me about saving this stone and using it to clad the wall.
I'm sure it's when he came here.
It may have been an early suggestion.
It was very early.
But
during the emergency.
Certainly, every time I've spoken to Tom, there was never any suggestion.
The question I asked them what they were going to do with the stone.
With the stone, Okay. No. Probably have ended underneath something in Cranbrook or something.
No way.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Pauline. Any further questions for Pauline? No? Good. Okay. We can move on to the Devon Bus Forum. Tim.
Thanks again, Ollie. The Devon Bus Forum, I didn't actually go to because I had a district meeting on the same day, and the district meeting was quite an important budget meeting, so I felt I needed to go to that. However, I did, as I said, I met with, and this is another charm offensive, I met with not only Councillor Andrea Davis, the transport portfolio holder, but Rachel Phillips, who runs the bus forum and I think the rail forum, who is one of DCC's senior transport planners, and also Peter Knight, the new stagecoach regional manager, and David Whiteway from Great Western Railway. Unfortunately, I don't have a great deal of positive information from that meeting, and I came back and I came to see Lisa actually immediately after the meeting to brief her what had gone on, and I used the term there, which is borrowed from Councillor Graham Deasy here, of charm offensive, and it did seem to me that, in fact, it was like rolling the years back, because I remember when I was first involved with the 7 or 8 years ago with the Transport Partnership, and we were in the early stages then trying to develop the idea of the interchange, and even before Mark's arrived on the scene. Stagecoach had reverted to their we don't want to run buses around the back of the station line because it takes too much time. It's not popular with customers. Andrea Davis and Rachel Phillips both said, well, who would want, as a passenger, who would want to go behind the station anyway? So we had that objection. They didn't propose any ideas for an interchange in front of the station, which I hoped if they rejected the rear of the station, they might think about the front. That wasn't suggested. What else was I? There were several things I was disappointed about. We didn't have Hannah Clark from DCC, although she'd intended to come, but she couldn't make it. We didn't have Luke Farley, who is the Great Western Railway, was the Great Western's integrated transport man, who's been developing schemes across the region. So altogether, we didn't make any progress towards interchange on that day. I was offered, because I think I was rather undiplomatic, I made a lot of noise about the signage at the front of the station. I basically said it was rubbish. And of course, that I think probably rather upset Rachel Phillips, because their department designed that signage, as far as I'm aware. So she did compromise with me, and she said, well, give me some feedback on what sort of thing you think would be better for signage in front, not only in front, but around the station. So I took that on board and said I would, and I heard later that Ron's had also been asked in her tourism capacity for her reaction on signage. So there were one or two odd positives, but we weren't able to discuss any of the highway proposals involved in the levelling up project. So wasn't able to ask anything there because Hannah wasn't there, etc. We are expecting, of course, February the 5th, we're expecting a meeting here, which councils have been invited to put forward what they've found in terms of their public consultation. So my advice at the present time is let's wait to see what comes from that public consultation, which was what we said at the last council meeting. So I'm sticking with that, but I just say I was a bit disappointed.
Can I just add something regarding?
Yeah, so, please do.
So, as Tim said, we have received some briefing notes regarding the proposed signage strategy that's related to the gateway proposals. Ron's has seen it. I've had a sort of quick look at it. I do think it would be beneficial for some councillors to have some input. Devon County Council haven't asked specifically for that, but I think it would be prudent for us to sort of spread the net a little bit rather than just Ron's and I looking at it. So I'll give some thought to, I think it would be too cumbersome for everybody to be involved, so I'm thinking maybe chairs of relevant working parties. But I'll give some thought to that and I'll email you. We'll see if we can get a date in the diary and have a little working party. They've asked if they can have feedback on the signage strategy by the middle of February. So, you know, we need to get that done in the next few weeks.
Okay, thank you for that. Brian.
Thank you, Chair. Two things. First, the signage. Is it going to be relevant? Because allegedly there's going to be some serious alterations there. Not that I'm keen on them, but a lot of other people are. So what is the point of doing the signage now when it's all going to be altered in the not too distant future?
So the signage relates to the what it's going to look like and what the signposting will be from the outside of the town coming in, bearing in mind that the strategy is that vehicles are going to be routed differently from the outside in. So it's not just looking at pedestrian signage outside the station, it's looking at road signage, it's looking strategically at how people are signposted into town.
But it's not been decided what will go where yet at the moment, has it?
Well, the Dean-Anne Way extension is going ahead, so in respect of, you know, part of the signage strategy is how you route vehicles up along Dean-Anne Way rather than through the town centre, so that's part of the strategy. So it's much more macro, I think, Brian, than you're imagining.
It's overhanging the pudding, I take what you're saying, but it's, my opinion, overhanging the pudding is a bit previous. The other question, if I may, Chairman, is buses. Now, over the last few weeks, I've noticed time and time again, the buses that are running to Exeter, I think it's the 57, seem to be linked. They're running in tandem, and they're virtually one or two people on one bus and one or two people on another, going to the same place. Well, bearing in mind that we're supposed to be, and hopefully get our carbon footprint down, that's not doing anything to encourage the carbon footprint becoming less. And also, do we know if they're subsidised by us, or Devon County, or the government? Because, in my opinion, stage structure, money for old rope, running empty buses, and polluting our atmosphere at the same time. And it seems wrong. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I'll pass over to Tim as Chair of Transport Partnership on that one.
Yeah, thank you, Ollie. In relation to subsidies to buses, in your question, Brian. Some buses are run commercially by Stagecoach and some are subsidised. The 57 route is a commercial route, but when I've heard Stagecoach speak recently and our public transport group at DCC, they made the point that there are a number of routes that are becoming less and less commercial by the day because of the loss of passengers during the COVID period, obviously, and B, because of the more recent inflation. They are having difficulties. At the moment, it doesn't seem to be impacting anything. Going back to your idea of the two and three buses running at once along the 57 route. We keep seeing that. We've kept complaining about it. And the general answer to that is that most of the problem comes from the extensive building works on the between Topsham and Exeter, where things get plagued up and the buses tighten up together. I'm not sure whether that's the full answer, but But that's the answer I've had, I'm afraid. I think that does that answer all your questions, Brian?
Well, not totally, Jim, but it's a good, damn good effort, my name's name. Thank you very much.
Brian, were you asking whether we were subsidising any bus services here?
We
only subsidise the 99E.
Ah, right.
That's the only bus service that the Town Council subsidises.
It seems a waste of public money and also the pollution factor.
Yeah, it's only the 99E that we support.
It really needs addressing. I can't ask, dare I say, we could get you or the Mayor to write a letter. Very stiff letter.
Well,
they think it's
They've run a 15-minute service, and as long as I can remember, buses have had a habit of bunching up. And as an ex-bus driver, I can tell you it can happen. I drove buses for Edinburgh Corporation back in 1974, and it happens. Bus behind. The problem is the slower a bus gets, the more people it picks up and the more people it has to drop off. And there are a lot of roadworks at the moment, as Tim pointed out, with building work along Thompson Road. But even recently we had the lights at Exton, which were causing huge tailbacks. And of course, the bus gets held up there for 10-15 minutes. Of course, the bus behind the catches up. It happens. But it doesn't mean, you know, there are any more buses than there would have been. It's just that they're running in tandem instead of 15 minutes apart, which is why you end up having to wait half an hour rather than 15 minutes sometimes, or even three quarters of an hour I've had
very
on occasion. So, you know, it's difficult, but it happens. Okay.
I seem to remember the old Lance Percival song. There's another one behind, the other one behind, referring to buses. And that must have been 50 years ago.
Can't be that old.
That was the week that was, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Lars Percival, he used to come on and do a calypso. Sorry, this is turning into reminiscence therapy.
It's a town council meeting.
Those of us over 50. Just to remind, Joy is definitely, I don't know if you're over 50, might have just reached that milestone, Joy.
Yeah.
So we will be celebrating afterwards. So Tim, it's back to you for the fair trade.
Oh, crikey. Yes, I was only going to briefly report on fair trade. Firstly, that under normal circumstances, councillors will be aware that we have the Fair Trade Fortnight, which of course is a national event. We do things locally end of February, beginning of March. This year, the National Fair Trade Foundation has put that off till autumn, so we're not doing anything in that respect. But our steering group has been involved in a school's virtual meeting recently, so we are doing things locally, even if not in the usual public way. Thanks.
Oh, thanks for that. Brian.
Thank you. On a happier note, Chair, Aurora and I have attended several of these events, and it's very interesting, and the speakers are very, very interesting, and the problems you've got to overcome are phenomenal. And also, the lady there makes excellent cake.
And pancakes.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, that's a good advert. Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. And it's back to you, Tim, to report on the Web Community Health and Wellbeing Board. We had a meeting on the 10th of January.
That's correct. And and I wasn't going to report in detail. I mean, those meetings are about an hour and a half or so long. They're very well chaired by David Bassett, who is the husband of Jerry Bassett, who runs Exmouth in Bloom. David runs a very tight ship, but he covers so many different aspects of health care and other things. And the other thing is that he does send his minutes in to us, and Lisa, I know you circulate those minutes, so people will see them. One thing I wanted to mention particularly, that apparently the minor injuries unit up at the hospital is actually transferring into the Royal Devon University Trust now. Apparently it's been run independently of that, but it's now going under that banner. So that's something new.
Can I just ask him, will it still be based at the hospital?
Oh yes, still based there. Yeah.
I think Claremont were running it, weren't they? I think we had a communication. I think we included it in the bulletin. That,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry.
As somebody who has used that in the past, be reassured to know it's still going to be there. Thanks.
Another interesting thing they brought up was that there's a group being formed to prevent falls, with the idea that they go out and to any groups, any voluntary groups, societies or whatever, bearing in mind that we've got a lot of elderly people and elderly people are subject to these falls, and it does a lot of damage to them and to the health service, to try and prevent falls. So we'll give a talk, demonstrations, etc. So watch out for that in the notes. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I note I have got to the age where you don't fall over anymore. You have a fall. Okay, I've got Brian and Aurora. Brian was slightly ahead, even though it should be ladies first.
Thank you.
It's, Tim mentioned fall prevention. Perhaps the officer can visit our back door here, because that should add an event or something.
Yeah.
Is that being addressed shortly, do we know?
I believe several East Devon District Council members of staff have raised it with the building management team.
Okay, right, thank you very much. Sorry.
That will go a long way then.
Oh, you little thing.
I don't think it's working, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on.
May I put this into, I know it's not on the agenda, Chair, but it is an outside lobby. I'm a peace advocate for Exmouth, and it makes a change. I have a bit of news. May I put it to the meeting, or am I going to go through a different channel? It's something nice. It's just
nice. No, I think you can accommodate that. That's, yeah. It's an outside body.
It's an outside body. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Please do. Maybe we should put it on.
We can add it. If you, in future, if you think there's something you want to provide an update on as one of the OPCC advocates, just let me know and we'll put an agenda item for you so that it's formalised.
Okay. Yeah. It's just about the police station. We were told that we were going to have a new police station, weren't we? And I suspect you've seen in the papers and online that they're opening their front doors at police stations right throughout. But Exmouth is not on the list for the simple reason, I expect you've seen that online as well. Where the old site is at the moment, the present site, there might be bats there, they're not sure. So they've got to have a special survey between May and September this year before the application, which was put in December 23 for the police station by the Commissioner, Alison Hernandez. I can never say it, but I think that's it. They've got to carry out the survey between May and September now, and then see what happens, and then hopefully it'll get registered then, the application for the new police station, which I thought was rather good news. Since it went very quiet, doesn't it? No, it all seems to have come alive again. So I just wanted to put
yes, it does
it.
Look as though we will get a new police station, because at one point there was an application that was withdrawn. And it kind of looked as though it had all gone quiet there, but it turned out the application was just for the demolition, and then they realised it would be better applying for demolition and rebuilding. So, yes, so that's kind of reassuring, actually, that it wasn't just the demolition. Okay, so we haven't got any other questions for Tim or anything else. District councillors' reports. I know we've had one from Tim. I apologise, I didn't do one this month, but if anybody wants to ask me anything about what's been going on at district council, feel free.
Maddie's got her hand up.
Maddie. Oh, there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Thank you, Jen. Well, there seems to be a lot going on, but we haven't got any conclusions yet. I'm told South West Water are coming to scrutiny, but last time they were due to come to scrutiny, they cancelled at the last minute. So we're keeping fingers crossed that they will be there, because there's lots of questions for them. So I will update next time on that. And also to say that the personnel, members of the personnel committee will be interviewing for a new CEO for East Devon. So that will be coming up in February as well. So hopefully that will be all right. Licensing, as Joe knows, is going fine. But apart from that, we're sort of waiting for outcomes for auditors and everything like, you know, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Andrew.
Yes, there was an online meeting of the what used to be called the LED Forum, which is now changed. I'm not sure exactly what it's called now, but it recognises that it's sort of a wider remit than just things that are managed by the Ministry of East Devon. But we have recommended to the Cabinet that we want to replace the roof on the pavilion and the tennis centre. We can't say how much because that was a part B of the meeting. So.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Yeah, well, it's good to know those things are being dealt with anyway, isn't it? Okay, anybody else? Okay.
Can I just say that we have been invited as a council to participate in the peer review that East Devon District Council's conducting at the moment, and Ollie and I have been invited to represent the town council on that, so one councillor, one officer. It's beginning of February, I think. I can't remember the exact date, but anyway, we have been invited to participate. So.
Thank you. Yep. Okay. Don't have any county councillors.
No, Richard Scott
right.
sent apologies,
yep.
And I think Jeff has had surgery possibly. I'm not sure,
right.
But he's out of action at the moment.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't know if they'll be at the meeting on 5th of February. Okay, well, we move on to the next item, which is item 7, to ratify the 2024-25 budget and the associated precept. There's quite a lot of documentation with that about the actual budget. Do we have, Pauline?
Can we accept the budget then?
Well, are you proposing?
Yeah,
I'm just debating whether we should have a debate or have a proposer and seconder. We got a proposer, well, exactly. Seconded by Joy. Thanks, Brian. I think you were coming in on thirding. So all in favour of accepting the budget and moving ahead with that?
That's unanimous, thank you.
Excellent, thank you. I was just going to check there's no abstentions and nobody against. Couldn't see any, but please go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Chair, a big thank you to Lisa and to Cherise for the hard work that they put in to doing the budget.
Thank you.
And some of it was at short notice, and also to arrange in the two briefings, which I think were an excellent idea.
Mm.
And to thank the part of it and managed to get us to where we are today. So thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you, Steve. Well said. And, big thank you for accommodating our extra requests there as well. And Well, I always think they say there's no such thing as a magic money tree, but you just have to ask Lisa and she'll find one.
We will let everybody have a copy of the detailed budget when it falls into next year. As you know, at the moment, it's in that last column on the budget sheets. It's a bit misleading because it doesn't show us current year. So as soon as we move into the next financial year, we'll let everybody have a copy of it. So you've got a copy for your records. But if you want one in the meantime, we can email one to you. It's as per the last briefing meeting.
Okay. Okay, and so item 8 is to consider and respond to East Devon District Council's review of polling districts and polling places. Lisa, do you want to...
Councillors will be aware that the parliamentary boundaries are changing. And as a result of the parliamentary boundaries changing, they're doing a review of the polling places and the polling stations. So we're being split up slightly differently in terms of parliamentary boundaries. So I think the Exmouth proposed polling stations, from my perspective, all look satisfactory. But you might have picked up a note from Jill Humphreys, the Electoral Services Officer at East Devon, that there's always a concern about the one of the Littleham polling stations, that you can't always get it at short notice. So I think if there's anything we need to feed in, it's possibly alternative suggestions for the Radden-style site. So if anybody's got any ideas, that I think would be something that we could feed into the review.
Graham?
Thank you. And just to say, we have a regular meeting of Littleham councillors on Wednesday, and I'll put that on the informal agenda that we have to say we're having a discussion about that point. So we can come back to you after that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Good idea.
Just wondering whether East Devon has a caravan, because I've heard about it in other parts of the country where they can't find a building for a polling station, but they set up a temporary.
I haven't heard of them doing that. I mean, in prior years, we've always managed to find polling stations, but clearly that particular one in Littleham gets very booked up. So
we are fairly well provided with halls in Exmouth. So, Tim.
I just wanted to add to what Councillor Graham Deasy has just said and mention that we, in our Lib Dem group meeting, we had a discussion about that, and Councillor Nick Hookway, who isn't here tonight, obviously came up with the idea, I think, of the pavilion as being a good alternative, but pavilion, of course, isn't quite in Little Ward, it's in town with it actually, but you know, it's fairly near.
Okay.
Yeah, shove it a bit further.
If you have any further ideas then following your ward meeting, if you let me know and I'll feed that into Jill. Okay. I don't know if you noticed as well, what's quite interesting is in the report it tells you what the electoral count is for each of the wards as well, which is always quite interesting. And that's obviously what we get invoiced on when we have elections, is the number of electors in the ward. So,
All right. Okay. So, do we have any other feedback on that consultation? No? Okay. So we can consider that one done.